reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 3, and we read Genesis 3, verses 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave to me with, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all your days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you to return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 5, found on page 1206. We read Romans 5, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more had the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1033. And read Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your Old Testament lesson as well as your New Testament reading. And I'd like to recall the words of Eve. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. This is our text. In the eighth grade, I had an algebra teacher who made, at least for some of us, algebra fun. Now, I know most of you, or at least many of you, think that the words fun and algebra are self-contradictory terms. But even if you don't like algebra, this piece of paper I gave you this morning, give to someone who likes algebra, and you can make them join you in hating it. How many of you have discovered what's wrong with this? Just a couple of you. I only had one last night. I've given this to some algebra teachers as well, and every now and again you can find an algebra teacher who's never come up with this experience. For what it's worth, all the algebra in here is correct. But how many of you believe that 2 equals 1? Raise your hands. Just one. You know that 2 equals 1, so you know something is wrong here. You just don't know what it is, but you cling to this belief that 2 can't equal 1, so somehow this must be wrong, right? Everybody nod your heads and agree with me. In point of fact, the algebra is used to hide the error. And if you want to find the error, I'll give you a clue. I won't tell you what it is, but you have to plug in numbers from the very beginning. And then eventually you'll see where the error occurs. And that's the way the devil works as well. He uses things that can be true to hide the dangers and death itself from our eyes. Thus, in the book of Genesis, when he comes and tempts Eve, Eve had a clear word of God: don't eat that fruit, or you will die. It was a simple and unmistakable statement of truth. So how does Satan get Eve to ignore that? Well, he presents her with other truths, although within one he hides a lie. For instance, the tree had nice fruit on it. Now, how could good-looking fruit be bad for you? It's a beautiful tree. How can a beautiful tree be bad for you? And you'll learn something that you don't know if you eat of that tree. That also was true. All kinds of truths. But the real challenge was this: do you trust God and what He says? And that's the ultimate challenge that Satan lays down for us. Using all kinds of truths, all kinds of things that look right or seem right, to, if you will, disguise, make us ignore and overlook the one thing that God has said is not true. And that is dangerous for us. We see this also in the temptations of Jesus in our gospel lesson for today. He hadn't eaten for 40 days, you know. We'd all be hungry after that amount of time, and Jesus was a human being. But it's interesting that Satan just doesn't come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, you look hungry. Why don't you eat something?" He uses his hunger to hide a challenge. Listen carefully to the words. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." What do you mean if you are the Son of God? I am the Son of God. I don't have to prove that to anybody. Man does not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. How often Satan attacks us still in that same way. From our young days to our old days, he's constantly challenging our identity. "If you really loved me, this is what you'd do. If you are really my friend, this is what you'd do." We've all heard of peer pressure amongst young people. It's those challenges to our identity. "If you really want to be cool, if you really want to be this, or you really want to be that." When God is the one who tells us who we are and what makes us holy and righteous and loving and loved. But the challenges to our identity don't just stop when we're young. They continue on even into our old age. "You can't do this task or that task anymore." And Satan comes and he says, "You know, you can't do that anymore. Other people can do that, but you can't." Well, that's true. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes on to challenge our identity. "That must mean you're not important anymore. That must mean you're not valuable anymore. That must mean you're not worth anything anymore." You see, he takes things that we know are true about ourselves, but then he uses it to attack who we are, and more importantly, what God has said. Are you valuable? Are you important? Are you loved? We have those clear words of God that speak to those very things. And we never need to look any further than just that word and to trust it. We go to the cross and we remember what Jesus did to define our value and our worth. God so loved you and the world that he gave his only Son. Your life has meaning. Your life has importance. Not because of what the world says about you, but because of what God has said and done for you. It is he who gives us life. He who created us in our mother's wombs. And it's he who decides when our life on earth and our purpose has been fulfilled. This he tells us over and over and over again. But Satan always keeps on coming to us and pointing out, if you will, truths. In the case of Jesus, he even quotes the scripture to his own ends. True words. But to challenge this one thing, do we trust God? Do we look to him for our identity, for our value, for our worth, and for guidance as to how we live our lives? Algebra. It's a useful tool, but sometimes it can be used to deceive you. It can take things that all look true on their surface to teach a lie. 2 does not equal 1. You can trust that. It never will. And though you may never figure out where the real error is, you can trust the basic truth of that math. May God grant that when it comes to God and to his word, we have that same unchanging and unyielding trust. Whether it be in how we should live our life, is this right or this is wrong? When God declares it, that's the end of the question. No matter how many other truths and arguments that Satan may present to us. But even more so when it comes to who we are. Whether we're loved, whether we have worth, whether we are forgiven, whether our life will continue beyond this life. When the Word of God speaks, may God grant that that settles the issue. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.